So yesterday on May 10th, I was the guest of Joel Pollack on Breitbart News Sunday, and here's the interview in full.
In the words of Andrew Breitbart, telling the truth is fun. This is Breitbart News Sunday.
All right, Breitbart News Sunday, coming into the end of our program, but we have one more segment, and we'd like to close on a bit of a spiritual note. This week, our spiritual note intersects with politics, as perhaps it will do more regularly as we head toward the election, but we are pleased to be joined right now by Rabbi Yaakov Menken, who is an Orthodox rabbi and an early pioneer in the field of internet-based Orthodox Jewish outreach. He's the founder and director of Project Genesis and creator of its website, Torah.org. And is also a voice for a group called the Coalition for Jewish Values, which represents over 1,500 traditional rabbis on public policy issues. And we're very pleased that he is joining us this evening. Welcome, Rabbi Menken.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so let's talk first of all about the holiday that's coming up this week before we get to the public policy issue in a moment. But we've got a special holiday coming up in a couple of days that may have some interesting thematic resonance with this idea of a pandemic and recovery.
That's actually very true, because Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, is celebrated because in Jewish history there were 12,000 pairs of students of the famous Rabbi Akiva, who passed away from a plague during this period of time. The rabbis always try to find a spiritual cause for what, you know, what would cause such a tragedy like that to happen. And it was that they didn't honor each other properly. They didn't show proper respect for each other and their opinions. And this was why they all passed away. But at any rate, the plague came to an end, according to some opinions, or at least it took a pause, on the 33rd day of the Omer, making it a holiday throughout Jewish history.
And in Israel, people like traditionally to have bonfires, to go camping, spend outdoor time. Might be a little bit difficult this year. I know some of the bonfires have been canceled, but my kids want to roast marshmallows in the backyard, so maybe we'll get to do that as a celebration of the holiday. And I plan on having a haircut. You know, we have these playoff beards in the NHL, you know, for the hockey championship. We have Sfira beards before Lag BaOmer. People grow their beards and their hair in a gesture of mourning, really, for this ancient pandemic. And then on the 33rd day of the Omer, you get to have a haircut, maybe. So anyway, that's coming up, and
well,
my kids
that
are
way
very
for
excited.
Some of us, I get to trim mine, but my wife took one look at mine as we were dating, and she said, "I like it," and that's it.
Oh, there you go. That's
We've
true.
Now been married for 25 years, and I have not shaved since.
Yes, a married man is no longer in control of his own beard. I can attest to that. So let's talk about the public policy issue on a more serious note. The Coalition for Jewish Values spoke out, and I was struck by the statement that came out, really taking Joe Biden to task, because last week he said in a statement to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which is like the Associated Press of Jewish newspapers, that he would restore funding to the Palestinian Authority. Now, he cast it as a way to get them back to the negotiating table, but it's not as if they were at the negotiating table for 8 years of the Obama-Biden administration. Plus, some of these funds were taken away from the Palestinians because they're U.S. taxpayer funds, and people got tired of seeing them being spent to help terrorists. So tell us a little bit more about the stance that the rabbis from the Coalition for Jewish Values have taken against Joe Biden's policy here.
Well, it's really, I mean, this should be 1 + 1 = 2. And I don't even think we should give a whole lot of credit, as Joe Biden did, to the Trump administration for this policy, because it comes out of a bipartisan resolution in Congress that said, we're not going to spend. Once they found out that the Palestinian Authority was running a pay-to-slay program, they said U.S. taxpayer money should not be used to implicate the U.S. taxpayer in a murder-for-hire program that is unequaled throughout the world.
Right, and this used to be a point of bipartisan consensus. And what struck me about it is that Joe Biden wants to give these funds back to the Palestinian Authority. He also said he wants to restore the Palestinian consulate in what he called East Jerusalem, the American consulate in East Jerusalem. Although the American consulate was in West Jerusalem. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I don't know if he's been there. I happen to have been there. So it's so confusing, and it shows such a disconnect from the realities of what's going on there. This is strange. It's strange to arrive at this juncture where there's no longer, it seems, a bipartisan consensus on something as simple as American taxpayer dollars not being used to fund Palestinian terrorism.
That's exactly what was so troubling about what he had to say. I mean, it's not as if the Trump administration is saying we will not give money to the Palestinian Authority. They will. It's just that there is now a law in place called the Taylor Force Law, and that is because U.S. Army veteran Taylor Force was murdered by a terrorist, and the Palestinian Authority continues to pay the family of that terrorist to show what? Honor and respect for murderers? Actually, yes. Mahmoud Abbas has said that these so-called freedom fighters, who are actually mass murderers, are the best their society has to offer. I think it's a horrible thing to say about the people that he's supposed to represent.
Right. Taylor Force was a U.S. Army veteran. I think he fought in Afghanistan or served in Afghanistan. He was also a graduate student. He was in Tel Aviv, which nobody thinks of as a flashpoint, really, because it's as far as you can get culturally and geographically from the places people are fighting over. And he was stabbed and killed in 2016. And this ought to be something everybody agrees with, not funding that kind of thing. Now, here's what really got me about the Biden thing as well. He's not asking for anything in return. He just wants to give the funds to the Palestinians. He's not asking them to make any sort of compromises.
That's, you know, I mean, this is all that they have to do to get the funding is to stop funding terrorism, stop providing financial rewards to the families of those who commit murder. Stop saying that these are the best their society has to offer, which I think nobody should be offended by anything any Israeli has said that equals what Mahmoud Abbas has had to say. For him to claim that the best of the Palestinians are first-degree murderers, it is a horrible thing. And for Biden to say that we're going to ignore U.S. law, we're going to ignore decency, we're going to try to claim that 1 + 1 = 3, we're going to give them the money when we know that they're going to use it for pay to slay, that's just abhorrent.
Now, there's a statement in the press release from the Coalition for Jewish Values that I find interesting, and in the minute or so we have left, I'd love for you to address this. But basically, to summarize, the statement says, Joe Biden used to be pro-Israel when he was a senator, and now he seems to be taking an anti-Israel stance. I know that conservatives will dispute whether he was pro-Israel or not when he was a senator because he wanted to put pressure on Israel at various points. But where do you think it's coming from? Why is Joe Biden taking a stance that for many friends and associates of Joe Biden would seem at odds with at least some of the pro-Israel stances he's taken in his career? Who's really pulling the strings there?
Well, it's the leftist squad that has had such huge influence. Again, the Taylor Force Act passed in 2018. I don't know if that act could pass in this Congress because we've seen a horrible inversion going on where, you know, along comes a black Muslim refugee woman and she says the same things that David Duke says. She gets exactly the same criticism. But she says, oh, it's because I'm a black Muslim refugee woman. Now, that's idiocy. But, of course, because she's saying it, the Congressional Black Caucus lines up behind her and others on the left line up behind her. And that's what's pulling the party to the left. And we look at the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. Anybody who believes that a Jew cannot be an anti-Semite knows nothing of Jewish history and the incredible damage done by Jews who work against our interests. And unfortunately, Sanders...
Rabbi, I have to leave it there, unfortunately, because we are up against a hard break, but I wish you a happy Lag BaOmer, and I wish all of our listeners a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back next week, same time, Breitbart News Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Good luck and Godspeed. Mama don't understand it.
She wants to know where I've been.